one thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, the Priestly Ministry of a Believer.
Hallelujah.
At every stage, God gives us our responsibility. The pastor has his responsibility, but so do you. So have you. A cell leader has a responsibility for as many people as are under him. Will you be faithful to pray for them? As the responsibility of leadership was passed on to you, so was the responsibility of intercession and prayer given to you. You cannot be a spiritual leader without that responsibility. You were not just called to begin to teach and to teach the people, but also to pray for them. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. When you cease to intercede for them, you are sinning. I want you to look at it. And by the time you are sinning in ceasing to pray for them, how will your ministry continue? It corrupts the worship. It corrupts the teaching. It corrupts everything else. He says, I will teach you the good and the right way, but I will not sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. Are you still there? The ministry of a priest. Now, you may think, oh, that's nice. Somebody to pray for the people. Who am I? I am among the people. Is that what you think? What did he say just now? He had made us kings and priests. He didn't say he had made some kings and priests. He had made us. So we have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to one another, to the church, and we have a responsibility to the world. And I'll come to that in a moment. How can the ministry move forward without the priestly ministry? How? When Moses died, Joshua was asked to take the people beyond the Jordan. What did God say? God said, the priests should bear the ark. I want you to see this. The priests should bear the ark. Who brought the direction? Yes, the prophet brought the direction. God spoke to him and gave him the strategy. And the strategy was the priests to bear the ark of the covenant. In that as they stepped into the Jordan, it was split wide open. It was the priests who stepped into it. It wasn't Joshua who stepped into the water. Soon as the priest stepped into the Jordan parted. And again, the people went through on dry ground. When it was time to take Jericho, again we find the priests. The priests led the congregation in being quiet for 7 days. At the seventh round of the seventh time, the seventh day, the Bible says, the priests blew with the trumpets. And there was a great shout. And when they shouted, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. The ministry of the priests. Which means that until, that no matter how the direction is given, as all over the world, the word of God is coming to God's people, but not sufficient praying to keep it moving with force, moving with the speed with which it is being given. Not enough praying. There has to be the right praying. We are too concerned about receiving miracles for ourselves and our loved ones. And we're learning more on how to receive what we want from God. We now have to take the more honorable aspect of the priestly ministry of intercession, praying and causing the work to move forward. Are you still there? So come with me now to the New Testament, Book of Ephesians. You know, this is one of the reasons why in many of our churches, the pastors don't know what to do in the first few minutes of the service. They don't know what to do. A lot of times they don't know what to do. They come for a service. The first 1 hour is wasted. People don't know what to do. Somebody comes in, takes the microphone. Pray, pray. So. And that goes on 30 minutes. And then we feel bored. So, others come and take the microphone and they sing and sing and sing and say, hop. And you hop and then until you're tired. And then, okay, you sit and then until you're tired. We do everything. The first 1 hour, we're already tired. Why? The minister doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do with the time. So most of the time, the effective period of the service is the last 1 hour of the service. And that accounts for the late coming that we have in many churches. Because they're saying that the first 1 hour, sometimes 1.5 hours, nothing is happening. So why go so early? When all you're going to do is just watch some people, you know, who didn't really rehearse well, performing, and you know you could get something better by just not coming. So it's a problem. The old time praying, when we ate at the house of God, you know, you was coming from outside. The moment you got in, thank you, Jesus. You know, you come in, you know you're going to intercede. You know your prayer will move the ministry forward. You know it. There are some people who are backsliding and you're going to pray for them today in church. You've been looking forward to coming into the house of God. And we're going to pray. You have your list of some people who are backsliding or who are struggling with their faith. And today, hallelujah, today, something's going to happen in their lives. Or even you looking forward to your personal praying. When you're at home and you take up all those things. If you look at many of my diaries, you will see some of you, your names are there. Oh, yes. All that time you were misbehaving. I had your name there, interceding for you. Some of you are even pastors today. But it was that fight that brought you in. One day you were just in the service and you just felt touched by God. But that touch came after sweating and wrestling in prayer. So when we see people like that today, we just smile. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because much praying had been done. Anyway, we'll get to that. Ephesians chapter number 6, I want to read this to you. You know, sometimes we want to please certain people, and so we are not developing the house of God properly. Let me explain. If we're not careful, we can order our services to please some visitors, to please newcomers, and all we do is to help them think good about us. And we forget the nurturing of God's people. Let me give you an example. If you came in here and we were all interceding for those who were lost, and praying for sick Christians everywhere. And those first 30 minutes of the service who were interceding, there are lots of God's children who feel irritated. What is all this praying about? They'll be irritated because they brought somebody and they want that person to see the singing and you know, just enjoy all the outward things. But the deeply spiritual things may not be done. I'm calling for a change. Are you hearing me? I said, I'm calling for a change. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm calling for a change. No wonder we don't have true friends anymore. Many of you can't say, this is my friend or this is my... You don't have friends anymore. Why? Because there's nobody you can pray with. When two or three pastors meet, can they break that fellowshipping of talking and say, let's pray? And pray for the next 1 or 2 hours? They're too busy to pray. But they're not too busy to talk until they're tired. Let's go. And everybody goes. But real Christian development is based on this kind of prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves, and here's another problem. We think that if we pray until somebody is prophesying, we're not going to stop. And there are some people who feel that in every such meeting, they must prophesy until they prophesy. Because they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between foretelling and foretelling. They don't know the difference. And they seek to give direction. And it's not your responsibility to give such direction. And that's why a lot of God's people run away from such praying. Because they don't know who's going to be giving the false direction to them. Now, when I talk about prayer, I'm not saying pray with strange Christians. You know, there are a lot of Christians with strange spirits. And while you're praying with them, they're saying all kinds of things. So, you have to protect your own spirit. But there are people you know. What about all those you came to church with today? You know, don't you know yourselves? Don't you know yourself? Hello? How many of you know some people here? Pray. Instead of telling stories about your brothers and sisters, pray.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back. The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org. For an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life and who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love World Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love World Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This is the continuation of the message, the priestly ministry of a believer.
Hallelujah.
Now that God has taught us how to pray, how to receive answers to our praying, Don't you think we should pray more? Or we seem to pray less. The more we know, the less we do. You know, I found out those that teach on the subject of healing and miracles, they have the least manifestations in their ministry. The more they teach on healings and miracles, the less healings and miracles they see. Those that actually are gifted and are called in that area don't even teach on healings and miracles so much. They just do it. That's the truth. Most of the time when we find seminars, you know, preacher preaching on the miracles, the power of God, and so on and so forth, let him finish. At the end, see whether anything will happen. You can't give a seminar on the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, and so on and so forth, and then end it with good night. You're not serious. The disciples of Jesus asked him, show us, they said, teach us to pray. Why? They noticed he had answers to his prayers. When Jesus prayed, he had answers. So they said, teach us to pray. He said, John taught his disciples to pray. You teach us to pray. They could have gone to John, but they noticed this one had answers. Teach us to pray. Hallelujah. Some years ago, one of our leaders then, many years ago now, came to me and he said, the brethren are not praying. And he was talking about the brethren who were with him, under him. He said, they're not praying. I said, what do you mean? He said, they don't pray. I said to him, go and show them how to pray. You see, there isn't much in teaching how to pray that you can really gain in the technicalities. We learn to pray more by watching others pray. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We are inspired more as we watch others pray. Some of you, when you pray, you put your hand here like this. How did you know? Some of you, when you pray, you walk up and down, up and down. How did you know? It got on you. How? Some of you pray and you go like this. You keep, you know, you just start like this. How did you know? Someone else probably who prayed that way and you felt he got some answers. They have prayed close to you, and as he prayed and you went to doing the same thing. You know, I remember years ago, I even got some tongues from some people that prayed with me. As they prayed, I felt that they just loved Jesus so much, and I picked some of their tongues in the spirit. And I noticed when I prayed, I said the same things they said in other tongues. That's the way to train a new believer. You can't give him all what you know on the subject of prayer. But you say, let's pray. And then he's watching you. You think you're watching him, but every now and then when you turn your back, it goes like this. It's watching you. You lift your hands like this. And how beautiful that is when we lift our hands to pray to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Am I still in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter number 6. Glory to God. Ooh, I like this one. Are you there? Yeah. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for our saints. Oh, this just about says it all. He says, praying always. That means every time and in all situations. Praying always with all prayer. That means with all manner of prayer. With all manner of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. Notice it says in the Spirit. Requests in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. What is it to pray in the Spirit? Talk to me. What is it to pray in the Spirit? Huh? Come on now. Come on. Hey, let me hear you. Praying in the Spirit is what? One more time. Say it louder. If you're sure what you're saying, say it louder. Did you say speak it in tongues? No. Listen, there's a difference between praying in the Spirit and praying with the Spirit. All right? Now, to pray with the Spirit means that you're praying in other tongues. All right? He says, I will pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding also. He says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, to pray in the Spirit means to pray in the Word of God. Now, praying in other tongues is also praying in the Spirit, which means that the prayer is coming from the inspiration of your spirit. I want you to notice what I said. Firstly, I said it's praying in the Word of God. That means we're not just talking about reading out prayer from the Bible. We're talking about the inspiration of the Spirit that's speaking forth the Word of God through you. So you are speaking, you're praying by revelation. You are praying the Word of God. That's praying in the Spirit. That's praying in the Spirit. And when you get into speaking in other tongues, that's still praying in the Spirit. Why? Because it's the inspiration from your spirit that's still coming forth. When you begin to pray with prophecy, that's praying in the Spirit. Why? Because the prophecy is also coming by revelation to your spirit. Are you still there? When you find yourself groaning in the Spirit in prayer, that's praying in the Spirit. Are you still there? But they are not all praying with the Spirit. Why? Because when the Spirit prays, He speaks in a heavenly language. If I pray in an unknown tongue, He says, my spirit prayeth. My understanding is unfruitful. And when He prays with the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. Mysteries unto God. So here when it says to pray with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, He's saying that we make requests with revelation. Are you hearing me? So when you, if you're praying for a certain brother or sister or praying for the church, you pray with revelation in the Word of God. You don't just pray a dumb prayer. Every prayer is not prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo, glory to God. You know, you can be standing there and say, you're praying for somebody. Whatever my enemies plan, the pits that they dug for me, they are the ones that will fall inside. When you're praying like that, you're not praying in the Spirit. You're praying in the flesh. Can you see that? And it says for us to walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The desire of the flesh is to see the death of your enemy. But the desire of the Spirit is to see the salvation of your enemy. Hallelujah. That woman that is tempting my husband, God will kill her. Hey, no! That's your flesh. That's your flesh rising. Your flesh is rising. All the people that are cheating me in my office, God will baptize them with fire. That's your flesh. He says to pray. He says praying always with all manner of prayer, with supplications in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit as you pray. Don't be perturbed by what your enemy is trying to do against you. No, stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Woo, glory to God. so you stay in the spirit. I'm upset, I'm angry, but I refuse to hate. I refuse to hate. I'm full of too much love for me to hate. I can't hate. I don't like what they did, but I can't hate them. I can't dislike them. You understand? I can't curse them. I'm full of too much love. I can't curse them. I can't be bitter. I'm too sweet in my spirit to be bitter. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I can't take record of the wrongs done to me. I can't give them an attention. You know why? I'm so blessed. You don't understand it. You know, when I tell people how blessed I am, I'm so blessed. I can't consider my adversaries. I'm too blessed for that. Oh boy. I'm blessed. You know, the Bible says about Abraham, it says, and God blessed Abraham in all things. That's the way I am. I've been blessed in all things. I've been blessed every way. How could I hate? How could I consider my adversaries? If they were as blessed as myself, they wouldn't be my enemies. They wouldn't be angry with me. They wouldn't hate me. They wouldn't despise me. But they're not as blessed as I am. So I feel sorry for them. You understand? I didn't make this happen. I didn't ask God for the blessing. It was just His choice. He chose me. Oh, Shatakabaya. He chose me. I don't have anything to do with it. He chose me. He said, "Son, I have chosen you."
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised them from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834. Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Suriname, Hoekhoopstraat and Prinsestraat, numero 73/74. Worship with us on Sundays, 10 a.m., Wednesdays, 7 p.m., for prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us. Please call +5978-570-590 or +5978-570-655 or send a mail to Radio Transmissions @level360.com.